been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We are live now. Okay, we had some connection problems there in the first quarter of the show, but we are live. So let me just catch you up on where the market is right now. It has improved somewhat from the open, but the Dow is still down 191 points. The NASDAQ is down 88. It has improved somewhat. And the S&P 500 is down 35 points. So kind of a rough open there for the market here today. The world should be worried, says Saudi Aramco, the world's largest oil producer. They today issued a dire warning after extremely low capacity. Here is the quote from Saudi Aramco CEO Amin Nasser. He says, today there is spare capacity that is extremely low. Saudi Aramco CEO Amin Nasser says at a conference in London, if China opens up, which I think it is, they are softening their restrictions over there, the economy starts improving or the aviation industry starts asking for more jet fuel, you will erode this spare capacity. Nasser warns that oil prices could quickly spike again. When you erode that spare capacity, the world should be worried, he says. There will be no space for any hiccup, any interruption, any unforeseen events anywhere around the world. That comes from Saudi Aramco CEO Amin Nasser, the world's largest oil producer. Well, you might think, well, we can turn to our strategic oil reserves, right? No, wrong. They're pretty much empty by now. And this diesel thing seems to be coming to a head also up in the Northeast. The difference between diesel and unleaded is hitting like record highs, and that situation could get a lot worse. Chemical Trade Group warns that rail strike would slam industry. Well, I thought the rail strike had been solved, but I guess not. U.S. chemical makers are one of the biggest users of freight rail, shipping more than 33,000 carloads a week, valued at $2.8 billion. It forecasts that the U.S. economy would lose anywhere from $156 to $379 billion if the strike is 1 to 2 months long. Job losses could number from 700,000 to 2 million. Well, there's a couple of warnings for you. There's always, you know, there's always risk out there in the economy and things that could happen. They seem to be revolving around fuel right now and energy. U.S. rents for October see the slowest growth in 14 months on economic uncertainty. Well, that's one of those good news, bad news kinds of things. The economic uncertainty, obviously, is bad news. But with rents starting to decelerate a little bit, they only increased 7.8% year over year. They've been increasing by double digits. And that has been part, shelter has been a big part of the inflation equation. Where are rents increasing at the greatest rate right now? Oklahoma City, go figure. That's 31.7% year over year. Number two, Raleigh, North Carolina, 21% year over year. Cincinnati, Ohio, 21% year over year. And Louisville, Kentucky, 15.8% year over year. And of course, like I say, that shelter component of the CPI index has not really settled down. That's been a big part of the inflationary equation here recently. Canada's inflation comes in at 6.9%, driven by higher fuel prices and mortgage costs. I think they have a little bit different way of computing their CPI, because that's a little bit lower than the rest of the world, 6.9. The Eurozone had the highest inflation rate on record amid surging energy prices and weakness in the euro. The euro consumer price inflation was revised slightly down to 10.6% year over year in October. Still, the rate was the highest on record and well above the European Central Bank's target of 2.0%. The data keeps pressure on ECB policymakers to continue raising rates despite signs of an economic downturn. And we heard this morning from the finance minister in the UK that the UK is now in a recession. And they also said that they would be hiking taxes and lowering spending, which I think was about the opposite of what Truss, who wasn't in for very long, wanted to do. I know she wanted to lower taxes and increase spending. But that's not good news. The Eurozone consumer price inflation, the highest on record. You know, a lot of these stories, and one of the biggest factors in the market right now is inflation. So I try to choose a lot of the stories out there that have anything to do with inflation, because that also leads to what the Fed is going to do with interest rates. And one of the biggest areas that we need, I know it's not a good thing to have layoffs, but as long as the job market remains strong, it's going to be hard to reduce inflation. And I had one macro economist for a very large firm that I talked to tell me, Bill, until we start to see labor, you know, the job market soften up and layoffs start to happen, it's going to be very difficult to get inflation under control or to see any real progress. Well, every Thursday we get jobless claims. Jobless claims fall, not increase, fall 4,000 to 222,000. Now, it's good news that people are working and that the job market remains strong, but if you're looking for easing on the inflation equation, that's not good news. The Philly Fed, okay, the other thing we look to, you know, a slowdown in the economy and the flat economy and inflation equals stagflation. And I'm seeing more and more chance, more and more of higher probability that we could end up with stagflation, which we haven't seen since the 70s. I mean, that's the worst of all worlds. You have a very flat economy that's not growing, and you have layoffs happening, which isn't good. Well, the Philly Fed outlook came in at minus 19.4 in November, meaning the economy slowing down in that part of the country, the fifth negative reading in 6 months. Well, I'll try to find some good news there during the break. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We'll be right back. Call now, you And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Our last day in Sarasota. We're headed home today. And we've had a great trip here, as always, to one of the nicest cities in the country, obviously, and very great place to visit. All right, the Dow is right now down 181. The NASDAQ is down 109. The S&P 500 is down 38. Crude oil is down $1.77. And you're seeing a pretty good jump in interest rates today with the 10-year up 9%. You know, you've had that big pullback recently from about 4.4, 4.3, somewhere in there. You've had a 50 basis point pullback, and it just seems to me like it's a natural that it's going to head right back up to where it was before. Bitcoin remains under pressure. It is up today a little bit, though. It's up $120 per coin to $16,639. Okay, well, let's take a look at some earnings reports here. There were a few, and then we'll get into this whole crypto mess. And NVIDIA reported earnings after the close yesterday. The chip stocks are seeing a little bit of a bump higher today. NVIDIA is up 1.3%. Taiwan Semiconductor, which Buffett has been buying, is up 2.95%. That's a pretty good chart on Taiwan Semi, TSM. If you want to know what they do for a living and more about the company, we put out an article on Taiwan Semi, TSM, quite some time ago, way before Buffett started buying it, on Seeking Alpha. Macy's, you've had a real mixed bag this week on the earning, the retail front. Really, it's been okay, except for Target. Walmart had a big day earlier this week. Target had a horrible day yesterday. It was down like 13-14%. Macy's today is, that's a good chart on Macy's, symbol M. Macy's is up 12.8% today. And the Kohl's, KSS, is up 3.9%. So those are kind of there's not very many winners in the market today. But you can look at Macy's, you can look at Kohl's, and then, of course, Taiwan Semi, NVIDIA, and AMD is up just a little bit today. It's up, 1.42%. And after the close, Applied Materials, which is a big semiconductor equipment company, they'll report earnings. They're up just a little bit, too. They're up 0.3%. And then one other stock that was amongst the earnings parade after the close yesterday, and that's having a pretty good day, is Cisco, which obviously is not the Cisco from back in the early 2000s, which dominated the networking space. Cisco is up 3.7% today on about three times normal volume. So they did like the earnings report coming out of Cisco. All right, now, the Bitcoin mess. What can I say? It remains a mess. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen urges Congress to act on crypto market regulation. Well, you know, a big horse is out of the barn now. And we don't know if that was a failure of not having the types of regulations and safeguards in place. You know, but what he did, Bankman-Fried, was pretty egregious, taking money from customer deposits and moving it over to his hedge fund. Singapore is writing off their investment in Bankman-Fried's FTX. You know, they only invested $210 million into it. Gone, just like that. Write it off. I saw that Kevin O'Leary yesterday wrote off his investment. And a lot of the funds, venture capital funds, that owned part of his company, writing it down to zero. There's another collateral damage candidate here. BlockFi is said to be preparing a bankruptcy protection within days amid the implosion of the crypto exchange FTX. You've got the U.S. House Committee planning a December hearing on the FTX meltdown. That hearing will be led by Maxine Waters. You've got, the pressure continues on other of the coins, liquidity, lots of problems there. And, was not a space that I had much interest in. But then you've got others that are doubling down. For instance, Kathy Wood at ARK Funds is doubling down on her crypto position and her crypto holdings. So she still believes in it, and I have never been a believer in it. Amazon Web Services, that's the golden child of Amazon that is still the growth engine, but they're going to do a hiring freeze. They're stretching their hiring freeze into the first quarter of 2023. And we continue to see, especially in the tech sector, more than any other sector, hiring freezes or layoffs. We saw the big layoffs at Meta. We saw the big layoffs at Twitter. Amazon had layoffs, and now with their web service portion of their business, a hiring freeze. Elon Musk hints he won't be the Twitter's permanent chief. Yeah, there's been some issues there at Twitter since he took over. Hopefully he's got somebody in mind that can kind of get Twitter under control there. And there's a lot of people that really believe that Musk will turn this into something quite spectacular, that the potential there is large when you've got that many people on that platform, that he's got an uphill battle. Musk also defended in court yesterday his $55 billion compensation package. I think that was a few years ago. It was mostly stock options that were granted to him. But when you totaled it all up, it added up to $55 billion. He says that the SEC should be more worried about crypto and regulating it than his pay. All right. Good old Elon. We love Elon. He is slamming the handling of the FTX fiasco. Now, let's not forget, Musk was a big investor in crypto himself and was playing around, on Twitter with mentioning Dogecoin and a few others. And just his mention of the crypto, it would move it up, some of these coins. And he owned a lot at Tesla at one point in time. I think he has backed out a lot of his crypto holdings, but he was definitely a proponent of crypto. Now he's calling for more regulations. Well, the big question on everybody's mind in the macro world seems to be recession or no recession, peak inflation, or will inflation continue, peak earnings, or will earnings continue to grow? And I think of those different scenarios there, I think the earnings one is the most important. And that's where I'm going to continue to focus going forward. Is on, as I always have, on what those earnings expectations are for next year and the year after that. Now, don't forget, that's the earnings expectations for the entire S&P 500. There will be sectors within the S&P 500 that will continue to see earnings growth. But others will start to top out, maybe they already have, and start to decline. And I would say that's especially true in the tech sector. I don't think that we're going to continue to see revised estimates higher in the tech stocks and the tech sector. I think you're going to continue to see revised estimates lower. That's a big sector that has a big impact on the S&P 500 earnings. And on the other hand, I think you're going to continue to see earnings estimates rise for the energy sector, which is not nearly as big as the tech sector. Maybe it's an 8-9% part of our economy. But I don't think that's enough to offset the earnings, the lowering of earnings guidance and estimates from other companies. Okay, with other sectors. When we come back, I'll tell you what's moving and popping here today. I got about 10 or 12. I'll narrow it down to some of the best. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with Bill Gunderson. You know, just a few things working here in the market today. I mentioned the semiconductor stocks. They got whacked pretty good yesterday. NVIDIA reported after the close yesterday. That's giving just a little bit of a lift to the sector. We heard earlier this week also that Warren Buffett was buying Taiwan semiconductor stock. I remember a time when Buffett wouldn't buy any tech stocks because he did not understand them. If he could not understand it, he would not buy them. I guess somebody explained Taiwan semiconductor to him, and that's one of his bigger buys here in the last 90 days in the last quarter. TSM is up 3.8% right now. And then you had a really strange week in the retail sector. It started off with Walmart, you know, blowing out their earnings estimates. And I think Walmart was up 5 or 6% that day. And then you just had a horrible report from Target, which they've become very inconsistent with their earnings reports. Target was down double digits this week. And then today you have, I would say, fairly good. You've got Macy's up, gaining a little strength here. It's up 11.3%. I think Dillard's has had a pretty good week. Yeah, it was up big time on Tuesday. And you've got Kohl's, which is up 2.8%. And then there's one other one, BBWI is Bath and Body Works. Bath and Body Works. It's up 19.3%. Bath and Body Works up 19.3%. Now, I mentioned Cisco tech stock. NASDAQ not having a very good day, however. Cisco is up 3.1%. And then there's a lot of winners in the inverse ETFs amongst them. Interest rates headed back up today, and real estate continuing to feel the brunt of that rising interest rate environment. DRV up 4.1% today. Now, that's one that I own personally. It's an exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding inverse performance to the real estate select sector. And it is leveraged 3x, three times. That came right down to its 200-day moving average when, as interest rates came down about 50 basis points. Seems to me that interest rates are headed right back up. And the DRV is up 4.1% today. That's a bet or an investment or a hedge against real estate. Webbs is up 5.7% today. That is the internet sector. Now it's up 6.7% on three times normal volume. That is 300% inverse of the Dow Jones Internet Composite Index, which would be stocks like Google, Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook, Netflix, other internet-related stocks. The inverse internet sector three times is up 6.7% today. TZA is an inverse fund against small cap stocks. They're having a really bad day today. And TZA is three times inverse the Russell 2000 index. And if you don't like small caps, I've often said, there's a lot of junk in the Russell 2000 index. All 2,000 of the stocks, as far as I know, are in my best stocks now, app.com. You can look up the rankings on them, but there's just, you know, a lot of junk in the Russell 2000 index. The TZA is up 5.1% today, which is a inverse ETF. And one that's pulled back recently and jumping here today, we continue to own our inverse ETF on the bond market and really on interest rates. And when interest rates go up, TBT and TMV also go up. They are an inverse ETF against the TMV is three times inverse the 20-year plus. We like the long index, long bonds, and TBT is inverse the long U.S. Treasuries. Now, one other point before I before we're done here, I continue to find individual bonds. Now, I have to look, I have to search. They have to kind of be associated with best stocks now, but I found, you know, another one here yesterday, and there's another one that I'm looking at today, and I'm just telling you that they are somewhere in the neighborhood of 6% now on pretty good companies. No, they're not IBM, they're not AT&T, but you go down, you know, to the next notch, they're best stocks now. And, you know, I just think that 6% for the next 3 years looks pretty good in a market, in an economy that might be headed into recession. So if you'd like to talk to us, you know, what happens there is people invest, put the money into the account, and then we start looking on a daily basis. It's a daily search. I have not been a fan of bonds. I have not been a buyer of bonds for several years now, other than the ones that we currently own in our individual bond fund. But right now, that's a very attractive area of the market, and we're going to continue to look and hopefully find the new ones on a regular basis. So if you'd like to talk to us about that, and I still think the dividend stocks, a lot of good dividend stocks out there right now, paying good dividends, and have that chance for capital appreciation going forward. To me, right now, those are the two sweet spots in the market. I continue to not like the ARK fund-type stocks way out there on the spectrum. And even closer in on the spectrum, I still don't like big tech, not until I see some improvement there in the earnings estimates and in the charts. Well, if you'd like to talk to us, I will be working on my newsletter tomorrow. I'll be updating the target price for the S&P 500. And if you'd like to make an appointment with us, we met with a lot of folks here in Sarasota. Hopefully we can help them out. If you'd like to put us to work for you, 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.